Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As it turns out, all of these particular stories reinforce the fact that when one is called, we do more than just serve, but we also grow. We find new ways of looking and viewing the world around us. We begin to look for those things that might indeed be the kingdom of God that has already come near. We see this in all of these in stories, including the second lesson that is actually a continuation of a series out of the book of 1 Corinthians, but it just fits in so well. Let's begin with Jonah. Jonah, you know the story. We miss out on that first part, the first two chapters, the one about, of course, hearing that the word of God has come to in Jonah, and he says no. He turns and goes the other way, getting a passage on a ship that leads out away from Nineveh. He's trying to get as far away as he can. It's not going to work. You know how the story goes. A great storm comes up. Even the unbelieving sailors are now looking for God in this, and Jonah finally says, just throw me overboard and the storm will cease. And if you do it, I won't have to go to Nineveh. So they say, okay, they throw him overboard, and along comes a great fish, swallows him up whole, transports him around the Mediterranean Sea for three days. All the time, he now has a chance to come to a new awareness. How's that for a come to God meeting, huh? In the belly of a whale, and sure enough, the great fish spits him out on the shore. And here we pick it up again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The interesting thing is that this was never supposed to happen like this. Jonah knew. Nineveh, is there any chance of anything going on there at all? It would be exactly the same if we were to designate Marshawn Lynch as a reluctant prophet and sent him into Gillette and Stadium to stand on the 50-yard line and say, 8 more days and you guys are going down. Thanks for asking. And then, of course, he gives them a gesture, and before he can get to the locker room, it turns out like this. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, all of the coaches, all of the equipment managers, the vendors, the cheerleaders, and 68,756 people seated in the stadium all immediately come to repentance and decry the fact that they have sinned against the rules of the NFL. But it happens. The strangest people that we might imagine, they'll never get it, but they do, because that's how the kingdom of God works. It comes into our hearts and minds sometimes when we're not paying attention. And it's interesting that the Ninevites repented, God repented, and Jonah stayed the same. He does not turn out well. In contrast to that, it is Paul, one who has had in his own life an experience of coming to God that was indeed dramatic. He now reminds us of what it is to be a Christian, that we live with a different viewpoint on life. To look at this particular text, it is not an instruction that we have, and permission to ignore our wife or husband, or perhaps anyone in the family for that matter. What he is saying is that our lives are now different. There is more to it than just those things that go on day in and day out and inside of and homes. There's more to it than the question of who's going to get the meal on the table, who's going to go to the parent teacher conference, who's going to make sure that the car gets to the shop for an oil change, who's going to take care of this and that. Instead, he admonishes them to live as though they had the freedom of paying attention to more important things. In the same way, those who mourn, yes, they will mourn. But if they were to be stopped there, they would miss out on all of the good things of life. I need to say that when my dad died in 1987, I was absolutely sure that my mom would be not far behind. She was just going to sort of shrivel up into a little puff of nothing because she had nothing to live for. Turns out I was wrong. She found the opportunity to go out and do new and different things. She made new friends. She found the chance to travel and see things that she hadn't seen before, going on elder and hostels, all kinds of things. Indeed, she missed Dad every night and every day that she continued to live. But her life was still full. If we mourn and say that that's it, we miss out on all of those things where the kingdom of God might indeed come for us as well. It is not true that that the one who dies with the most toys wins. Therefore, those who buy are not to get so concerned about the possessions that they have that they miss out on where God might be working in the world. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, God breaks in ways that we can only imagine. We need to be open and ready and watching. When Jesus came along the shore of Galilee there, it might be that those four fishermen, Simon and Andrew and James and John, were about at the top of their upward mobility. There was no career move above that. Every day was the same. You get up, you go out in the and you fish. You hope you make enough to come back and feed yourself, your family, and to sell a few to some of your neighbors. Next day, you get up and you go and do it again. If that's the extent of their life, they were going to miss out on something. Instead, Jesus calls them and says, "Man, follow me. And I will make you fish for people." So they did. There is for each of us the opportunity to see our lives either in a narrow focus or to understand that God, who sees on all things and holds all of life and time and space in God's hands, may have a few surprises for us. But it calls us to be open and to follow, to go where Jesus goes. and there to discover the great things that are before us. These kinds of meetings, of annual reports and nominations and votes and this and that, it can get a little and tedious at times, and it is a necessary thing. It's how we get things done. But in the midst of this, I also ask you to be aware of how God might be at work in this place, among us, among you. Amen.